snow with chill could pass. My husband lost his life. I know his prayers to the last were for his lovely wife. I lost my husband, you your son, you your brother bold. Then let us weep our griefs of one, all for the Klondike's gold. All for the Klondike's gold, my love, all for the Klondike's gold. All for the love of Golden Gay, all for the Klondike's gold.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney, and that song is called All the Klondike's Gold. It was written for a play produced by Annie Bartholomew here in the studio with me today. Hi, Annie.
Hey, Shelley.
Great to see you. And also here is Kat Moore. Hi, Kat.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and Heidi Handelsman. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you so
and
much.
And who's that you got with you there?
Oh, this is my three-month-old baby, Aaron. He'll be three on opening night, actually. 3 months.
He's so little. Baby's first talk show.
Yep.
Well, let's begin with introductions. Annie, I'd like to start with you. Many of our listeners will know you well, but for those who don't, could you please introduce yourself?
My name is Annie Bartholomew. I'm an Alaskan songwriter and now playwright with Theater Alaska.
That's awesome. And did you write that song we just heard, All the Klondike's Gold?
I wrote the melody. The lyrics all come from a poem that was written by a miner and published in the Gnome Nugget anonymously.
Wow.
So it was in the public domain. I just felt like the words are so rich. Why wouldn't we turn them into a folk song?
Of course you would do that. Kat, you're next. Would you please introduce yourself and tell us how you're involved with the play?
Sure. My name is Kat Moore. I'm an Anchorage-based Alaskan singer-songwriter and musician. And I'm here with Annie making music for the play, functioning as a music director and a song wrangler.
And you're in the cast as well.
Yes, I'm acting for the first time in my life.
she was wrangled into it.
We'll talk more about that. Heidi Handelsman, tell me a little bit about yourself and your role in this production.
Yeah, I'm the director, and I've also been working dramaturgically with Annie on this play for the past year and a half or so. I'm San Diego-based, so I'm up here in Alaska for the very first time.
Oh, wow, welcome.
Thank you.
All right, so Sisters of Whitechapel, A Short But True Story is the name of the play. And Annie, it's based on research you've been doing for years now. So how would you describe this play in your own words?
It's a play about women who came north during the Klondike Gold Rush. It's based off of another newspaper article called A Short But True Story about a woman who loses her provisions at 30 Mile and has to make a difficult choice and ends up engaging in the red light district in Dawson City, which one of the names for that was the Whitechapel area, also known as Loustown. So using different archival materials and material in the public domain and research, we expanded upon that newspaper article and built a world around it that takes you on a journey and invites you to learn more about these women and their lives.
Many of us have heard you talk about these histories of women that you've been studying and you've talked about in your musical performances. Did a Victorian folk opera, as it's described, seem like a natural next step in the evolution of your work?
Well, if you've been to one of my shows, I could talk about this stuff forever, longer than the songs. So I kind of imagined it as a one-woman show after meeting my friend Willie Carlisle, who does use music and theater together to take audiences on a journey. So I imagine that, but after Theater Alaska offered this year-long songwriting workshop, I did that and realized a one-woman show is very difficult to write. It's very hard to write using historical documents. And then acting is also very hard. It's a craft people spend their lifetimes learning. And, you know, music is enough. So it was very cool to partner with Theater Alaska, with folks like Heidi and the talented artists that they brought together, and really bring this together with the support of lots of professionals who this is exactly what they do. And they knew how to bring the best material forward.
Did you ever think this would that you'd be doing something like this?
No, this is like every day we go out and we rehearse. It's like your wildest dreams coming true. Uninhibited creativity with some of the most talented folks in the world. I can't believe it.
That's great. Well, I want to hear from Kat and Heidi about their experiences working with you and working on this show. But first, you have your instruments, and I'm excited to hear some of the music from Sisters of Whitechapel. Will you play something for us?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us what we're going to hear.
This one's called Mountain Dove Song. And I wrote it during my residency in Whitehorse with Yukon Arts Center in a timber frame cabin in Shipyards Park where I was learning to play banjo.
You've learned well, I think.
Oh, thank you.
All right, take it away.
Scarlet acumen, it's flat. The horse is from the stable. I stay with them all evening. I see them through the night. When frigid love and falling doves take flight. Ah, on Sunday sing Hosanna, kiss your wife to sleep. Ah, on Monday at my cabin, my secrets to keep. I stay with them all evening. I see them through the night. When frigid love and falling doves take flight. They think they can buy my silence. They think, what can't money buy? They tried to sell me back my virtue. I wouldn't lose a dollar thinking about the price. Sure, send my ship comes in, rolling up the Yukon. They can knock and they can call, but you know I'll be gone. I'm going to catch a steamer, sure as the morning light. When frigid love and falling doves take flight. When frigid love and falling doves take flight.
That was lovely. Thank you. I feel like I'm in my happy place right now.
And that's not even Kat's real instrument. Everybody's playing lots of different things in the show, and we're so lucky to get Kat down here in Juneau for a month and to jump on bass and to jump on guitar and to jump on fiddle. And
yeah, because Kat usually play piano, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a new experience, but it's been wonderful. There's been so much learning to be had, and every moment is such a great experience growing.
Totally. And Annie, the banjo sounds great. I wish we could put another mic right on it.
Oh, that's okay.
I wish the radio listeners could see that beautiful instrument. It's as gorgeous in appearance as it is in sound.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Heidi, let's hear from you. You're the director of the play. This material, to me, already seemed like a great fit for Annie, for the audiences. It's engaging. It's informative. What were some of the ways you shaped it for the stage?
Oh, well, when I first got involved, there was no play yet as such. We were doing a workshop of the play with actors from the Brown Trinity MFA acting program based in Providence. So this was a little gift from the pandemic. I was in San Diego, Annie was in Juneau, and our actors were in Rhode Island, and we were all together in the same Zoom room at the same time towards the beginning of the pandemic. So we were workshopping the play, but there was no play yet, in fact. Annie had all these songs and all of this gorgeous raw material, all of this gorgeous first-person narrative and accounts from these women. And we just sat down with an actor and had her read a lot of material. And so Annie was going through the material and highlighting what she wanted to hear out loud, and I was going through it with the actor, suggesting how it might be performed, and things started to emerge. It's been a very organic process. Annie has tried her hand at creative writing in a way that is stunning. We did a full version of it a year ago that was entirely historical fiction. It was still a one-woman show then, historical fiction monologue show with lots of music breaks. And then she scrapped that entire draft and created this patchwork of bits of historical fiction and bits of first person, just the original source text and the songs. And it has just blossomed and emerged since then from all of these different sources and all of these different theatrical strategies. And it's been a lot of back and forth and suggestions with me and Annie. I've just been lobbing stuff at her, and she's been lobbing it right back. It's been a really beautiful process. And her obsession with the material is so infectious. It's wonderful. Yeah.
What do you think the audiences will connect with when they see this performance? What did you connect with it in the beginning?
Oh, I connected with... I love a story of an underdog. I love a story of an unsung hero. People who have been neglected by history and bringing those stories to the surface. And I think these women definitely fall into those categories. The music is so gorgeous that I think everybody is going to connect with that immediately. And it's a door opener.
And Kat, what about you? What would you add to that?
I would have to agree with Heidi on everything she said, particularly the beauty of the songs themselves, not just the performance, but the writing of the songs is just so incredible. So much information and beauty and art all at once. Additionally, for me as a musician playing on this music and getting to perform it now in a live setting during this time and place in our country's history, it feels really pertinent as a woman to hear this story. Makes me feel really grateful to be a woman in this century, but also it really reminds me that, you know, women are still fighting an uphill battle constantly. We have been always, and we hopefully will not always be. But it's a really great story of struggle and triumph and perseverance, and that's been really meaningful on top of just the sheer beauty of listening to some gorgeous music.
What were some of the contributions you made as the musical director of this production?
Oh, I joke about being the song wrangler because I'm always trying to be like, hey, you, what are you doing? Do you want to play this upright bass? Do you want to play this guitar? So throughout our cast, we had a lot of actors coming in, and now they are actor musicians or folks who are, you know, vocalists and now are instrumentalists. So my biggest hope is just that people will have a lot of fun with this music and try new things, because that's what Annie encouraged me to do. And this is my first time playing violin on the radio, and I was a little nervous, but I think the greatest thing about Annie and what she does artistically is that she encourages everyone that she works with. And so working with her has just been such a joy, because not only do you learn new things, but you learn them in this way that is really passive and joyful. And then you feel so empowered at the end of every day.
Yeah. Definitely.
Thanks, Annie.
Thanks for coming.
I see Annie doing this all the time, taking these opportunities to bring in all of her many very talented friends to collaborate with. And looking at the list of all the creatives and the cast and everything on this production, it's exciting enough to come and see you do what you do, but to see all these other great people involved as well, like Kat and Heidi. And
Like hearing Miss Lisa Thole sing your songs, I just never want to hear me sing them again. I just want to write songs for her to do.
I am definitely excited to see Salisa sing as well. Kate, tell me a little bit about... Kat, tell me a little bit about your role in the cast and who else is in the role as well.
So I'm playing the professor in the play. The professor is the pianist, so it's a very fitting role. And his role is also a bit of, you know, the pedantic, let's go down the history road. And so I get to talk a lot about the history of women during the Klondike Gold Rush. And I feel like it's a very fitting character for me, because I like to just go down those rabbit holes. So for me, it's a neat piece. I get to interact with a couple other characters. Madeline Blair is someone that you'll hear me interacting with in the play. And so it's really nice to have a little bit of dialogue and to be able to share some context for the story, and then also get to interact a little bit in a very playful way. And there might even be a little bit of audience interaction. So if you'd like to come be a part, come join us. We've got 10 performances over the next 2 weeks. So there's a lot of opportunities.
We'll definitely tell the audiences where to go to see the show. I wanted to ask a little bit more about who's in the cast and what are some of the roles they play.
Yeah, I mentioned Salisa earlier, and
this weekend she's stepping in to play Blair, but she's also a cowboy sometimes or a Mountie. We've also got Kate Ross, who plays the Mountie in Blair. We've got
Caitlin O'Mealy.
Natalia
Spengler. Spengler is our Spengler. Lead who plays Millie Lane. It's just so funny. We're around these people constantly. So you just
I don't know.
We're not necessarily method acting, but we finally put our costumes on that Debo, our costume and set designer, created, and it's just opened up a whole new world for walking and talking. We rehearse in corsets. And
Singing in a corset is a very different
bloomers.
Thing.
Yeah. Wow. And historically accurate costumes.
The other exciting thing about this cast and crew is, aside from being powerhouses just in general, like creatively, we have some actors who are returning to the stage after a long hiatus and are super excited to share in that respect. Some who are brand new to the craft, but, you know, focus generally on art or music. And so it's a really neat cast of people from all these different backgrounds coming together and sharing in this way. So yeah.
And Kate and Natalia, who were just in A Midsummer Night's Dream with Theater Alaska 2 weeks ago and are now doing this. So it's a beautiful mix. Yeah. It's also, further to what you were saying, Kat, it's so cool to just have this very female-oriented collaborative space. Our stage manager is a guy, and that's it. Everyone else is a bunch of women being goofy and playful and musical and bringing back these stories, bringing these stories to life.
Well, we've touched on it a little already, but I did want to ask how people today, especially women, can relate to the characters and the story that you're telling, Annie.
You know, I think that was the most surprising thing, is reading these stories and realizing how similar we are to them. I think we like to think we're smarter and more evolved than our great-grandparents, but we live in very similar times. The economic forces that drove women into sex work still exist today. We have more freedom, you know. We don't become a man's property when we marry them. We have access to better medication, but we're not there yet, and there's a lot of work to be done. And I think any women can empathize with these gals and find something there in their life. I was very surprised doing this research and interviewing folks like Lael Morgan and hearing how far we've come, like, within the last 50 years, but also what we're still struggling with.
Well, on that note, would you play us one more song from Sisters of Whitechapel?
Of course.
What's this one?
This one's called Run Around Lucy, which is our answer to Run Around Sue. That was one thing that Lael Morgan told me. She's like, well, you know, some people chose this profession because they wanted to.
And if I can just add, I think this is a really interesting song because a lot of the songs that Annie's written have been from the woman's perspective, but this is a song technically sung by the guys about, you know, the sex work trade before it was stigmatized. So it's a very different thematic feel to me.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it.
Should we count it?
Yeah.
A one, a two, a one.
Lucy sells a mean cigar, open spring to fall. Lucy works harder than any man, and for as long as she is tall. Run around town, run around Lucy, Lucy girl, where have you been? Run around town, run around Lucy, Lucy run back to me. Got her dress from a railroad man, shoes from a driver in the mine. But when she wears my diamond ring, oh honey, baby, don't it shine? Run around town, run around Lucy, Lucy girl, where have you been? Run around town, run around Lucy, Lucy, run back to me. Town, run around Lucy, Lucy girl, where have you been? Run around town, run
run around, Lucy, Lucy, run back to me. Lucy gets high on a mountaintop, Lucy gets down to the sea. Lucy got fast with my best friend, but now she's sweet on me. Run around town, run around, Lucy, Lucy, girl, where have you been? Run around town, run around, Lucy, Lucy, run back to me.
Nicely done, nicely done. I love that one. Oh, Heidi, you were saying it's hard to sing, hard not to sing along.
It is so hard not to sing along. That one in particular, I've been singing to my baby for the past few days, solidly.
That's a good lullaby. Well, it's been so lovely having you all here today, and thank you so much for playing those tunes. It's been great, but it's time to wrap up. So I just wanted to sort of recap all the performances. I'm not going to go down the list and say where you guys are performing. There's a lot of shows. There's some this weekend. There's some next weekend. There's ticketed shows at the Crystal Saloon, and there are a lot of free outdoor performances at the Treadwell Mine Building, the Glory Hall, and Riverside Rotary Park, and even the Mendenhall Valley Library.
Yeah. And a couple of shows at the Crystal Saloon that are paid.
That's right.
Ticketed events.
So you guys are going to be working hard. And you can find out where to get tickets or purchase tickets or find out more, all of that at theateralaska.org. Yeah?
Yes.
Boy, Theater Alaska's been working hard this summer.
Yes.
Busy, yeah.
Very, very busy. So as we wrap up and say goodbye, I just wanted to ask if there's anything else that anybody wanted to share. And Heidi, we'll start with you and end with Annie.
I have been in requested that I also mention that Theater Alaska is doing more stuff after this performance, after these performances are done, with the Festival for a Cool Planet. So that's going to be coming up. So check out theateralaska.org for more information about that.
Yeah.
Kat, how about you?
I would just love to add that this is my first time working with Theater Alaska, and it's been really wonderful. They do such a great job with location-based theater. So once you get onto that website, you'll see there's so many performances. I would encourage people to come to more than one. They have so many free performances, and every performance will be different depending on the location and the weather. So you can see this play in, you know, five different ways in the same weekend. So come out as much as you like.
I just want to say thanks for having us, Shelley and KTOO, and also thanks to all the folks who've donated to our GoFundMe campaign through the Jack. We couldn't do it without Juno, and we're just so grateful for the support of everyone who's donated to this crazy, amazing project that we're doing.
It's been so fun having you back in the, being back in the studio with you together again, Annie.
Oh, yeah. You're the whole reason I got to go to White Horse and do my residency, Shelley. Covered for me.
Well, you know, that's what friends do. Well, I'm so glad to see the fruits of your labor. I think this is going to be awesome. So thanks again. And thank you for giving us such a wonderful preview and getting everybody excited for Sisters of Whitechapel this weekend.
Thank you so much.
And break a leg. Woo.